And then, since he kept the law and fulfilled the law, he wrought out a righteousness, a cloak of righteousness for us. And our sins are imputed to him, and his righteousness is imputed to us. And that's how we become righteous. But yet people will say that we become righteous, that our faith makes us righteous, that our faith is our righteousness. They say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you see, he says, they say the very minute that you call on Christ, then that's when you become a child of God. And of course, the primitive Baptists do not believe that. We believe that in order for a person to call upon Christ, he has to already be a child of God. He has to have be born of the Spirit. That was the lesson that the Lord Jesus taught Nicodemus. He said that a man cannot see the kingdom of God except he be born again, or born from above. And then a little verse or two later, he said a man cannot enter the kingdom of heaven except he be born from above. And Nicodemus said, well, how can these things be? He was thinking of a natural birth. He says, man can't be reborn again naturally. And Jesus said, I'm speaking about heavenly things. You're thinking about earthly things, but I'm speaking about heavenly things. And he said, it's like this. The wind blows where it listeth. And that is that man can't control the wind. No man knows from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. It blows as it pleases. And he says, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. So that means that the Spirit of God goes where it pleases. Man does not know from whence it cometh and where it goeth, but it goes according as it pleases. And of course, what it pleases him to do is to please the three persons of the Godhead. They are in one mind, in one agreement. They are not three different people disagreeing on different things. They are all one. They are three people, but one God. And they all have one mind, one purpose, and one objective in the things that they do. There's no disharmony there. So the apostle says that for whom page there. Since for the scriptures, let me get here. Now this is a scripture that's used over and over that men say that you must hear the gospel in order to be saved. You must hear the gospel and accept the gospel and obey the gospel. And then God will make you one of his children. He says, but what saith it? That is the word of faith he's talking about here. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. In other words, if you're going to be justified by the law, then you have to live by the law and do what the law says. And if you break the law in any point, you have broken the whole law, he says. You have transgressed the law. He's looking at all the laws, the Ten Commandments and all the laws as one, just one law together. And if you, any point in there, you break one of those commandments, you broke all of it because it's of one piece. And so he's saying that if you've stole something, you broke the law, and you violated the whole law, because it's of one piece as far as God is concerned. And so the transgressor has broken the law, and but the righteousness, he says, For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is a word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Well, I'm going to stop right there. And so, the apostle is saying that whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile, that they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And as we said a while ago, that saving is saving to the truth. But most of the religious world that I hear think that it's talking about being saved from hell to heaven, or it's being saved from ungodliness to godliness in Christ. But listen, that's not what it's talking about at all. It says that man believeth in his heart unto righteousness, and salvation and confession is made unto salvation with the mouth. So something's got to be done in the heart before you confess with your mouth. And the Apostle Paul speaks of circumcision of the heart. He says a Jew is not a Jew outwardly that's circumcised in the flesh, but a Jew inwardly that's been circumcised in the heart. And he distinguishes between Jews. All the Jews were circumcised. That was a law that they had to go by. But yet there was many of them that did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. And as a nation, they were have been cast aside as far as public worship is concerned, and the favor of God like they had under the law dispensation. Their temple is gone, and they have no prophets. They have no openly manifestation of the favor of God with them as a nation like they did at one time. But now the gospel is preached, and it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. If you are blessed to believe the gospel, well, then you are saved to the truth of the gospel. That's what we call gospel salvation. And gospel salvation is different from regeneration, being born again, as Christ says. Being born of the Spirit is by the Spirit. Man has nothing to do with the Spirit, as he demonstrated and illustrated to Nicodemus. The Spirit, like the wind, comes and goes as it pleases. And so man has nothing whatsoever to do with that. And the Spirit knoweth them that are his, just like the Lord Jesus knoweth them that are his, just like the Father knoweth them that are his. And so the Spirit of God quickens and makes alive, translates God's children that he has known from all eternity, though they have sinned and been separated from him as far as their fellowship is concerned. They are dead in their trespasses and sins to the favor of God and to the fellowship of God. And so the Lord says that he will come and quicken them and translate them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And that is strictly of the Lord. But the gospel is preached to man, and the Lord uses men to preach the gospel, and he can save his people with the gospel to the truth. That's what the gospel is sent to them. And in the Philippian letter, it is said that it is not only given unto you in Christ Jesus to believe on his name, but to suffer for his name's sake also. So it is given to you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the 13th chapter of Acts, when the Apostle Paul was run out of the synagogue by the Jews, they got mad because the Gentiles began to come to the synagogue and say, preach the gospel to us also. And the Jews did not like that. And so the Apostle Paul says, seeing that you have put the word of God from you, he says, I turn unto the Gentiles. And as many, and it says, and they were glad, the Gentiles were glad, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And so you have to be ordained to eternal life before you believe. And belief is a result of the new birth and not the cause of it. But what does he mean here when he says that whoso shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved? And he says, how then shall they call it on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe except they how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall a man preach except he be sent? And in order to preach the gospel of God, a man must be called and be revealed to him what it is he is to preach. And except that happens to him, he's going to preach the doctrines of men, the commandments of men for the doctrines of God, the scripture says. And so the, but does that mean in order for a person to call on the Lord Jesus, he must hear the name Jesus? And actually he can't call on a person that by name if he's never heard their name. And so this is when we say this is dealing with gospel salvation, and that the saving involved here is a saving to the truth, and it's not being born of the Spirit, but it is a matter of hearing and believing the gospel that is preached. And if you believe, if a man comes preaching some other gospel which is not a gospel, the Apostle Paul says, and you believe that, then you've not believed the gospel. You are not saved in the sense that the scripture says here, that if whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, as a result of a preacher being sent and preaching the gospel. But if they believe in another gospel, then you're saved to something that's error. You're not saved by the gospel in that sense. And in order to be saved by the gospel, you must believe the gospel as we have received it. And to believe another gospel, which is not another, Paul, in other words, Paul says it's just one gospel, there's not another. But there are people that preach other things as the gospel. But he says it's not really a gospel. It's not the gospel. And so in that sense then, they would not be saved in the sense that these would be saved after hearing of their ungodliness and of their righteousness that God has wrought out for them. When they believe that, when they call upon the name of the Lord, then they are saved to that truth. When it says from faith to faith, we believe that that embraces the faith of the Jews under the Old Testament and the faith of the gospel, those in the gospel now. From faith to faith, in that sense, he says that we preach, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, to everyone that believeth. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And as we said a while ago, we quoted from Abel and Enoch and Noah and those before the flood, which had no law, no Bible, no prophets. There was no prophet sent to any particular people. And it says that in the days of Noah, that the earth was filled with violence. Men began to be multiplied on the face of the earth, and the thoughts of man were evil continually. And God said, I will destroy him. And but he says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so Noah built an ark to the saving of his house. He had no Bible. He had, as far as we know, there'd never been no prophet sent to him. He had, there was no church at that time that we know of. And it says that there was giants in the land, men of great renown. And violence filled the earth. And I don't think we can even begin to imagine people lived. Evidently, the average life along then was somewhere up to 900 years. They lived to be 900 years old. Adam lived to be 930 years old. And Methuselah, he was the oldest. He lived to be 969 years old. And all of during that time, you read it in the Genesis, it gives that genealogy, and most of them were living up to be 800-900 years old. And who can imagine the type of a civilization, what man could accomplish, how much evil he could accomplish in living that many years, and how fast would the population increase? It said men began to multiply on the face of the earth. And it was 1,656 years from Adam to Noah, to the flood. And Noah was 500 years old when he started building the ark. And he built on the ark for 120 years. So men and women lived a long time. And who knows what could be accomplished in with a life like that. What you could learn, what you could develop, and so forth. And so it said that the thoughts of man was evil continually, and it repented God that he'd made man. He said, I'll destroy him off the face of the earth. And but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And doesn't say a thing about Noah's wife, or Ham, Shem, and Japheth and their wives. It doesn't say that they found grace they would just know his family because of Noah. They were saved, evidently. How much they participated in the wickedness that was going on, it don't say, but evidently they might have been a good part of it themselves. Noah's children. Just says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And for Noah's sake, he spared the new world with eight people. And eight is the number of a new beginning. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, many say, you see, you got to have the word of God. And they say the word of God is a Bible, and that you got to hear the Bible preached and in order to be saved. But this word here says, hearing cometh by the word of God, is the same word in the 8th chapter of Romans, the Gospel of John. I won't turn over there, but there the Lord Jesus is speaking to some of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those that were going about to kill him when he had done nothing wrong, yet they desired to kill him. And he said, why is it you do not understand my speech? Now that word speech is the same word translated word right here. He says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the speech of God. It's the same word that he uses over there and says, why do you not understand my speech? And then he tells him, he says, because you cannot hear my word. Now they were hearing the words he was speaking. They had ears, and they heard the sound, they heard the words. But what he meant was, you do not understand, you do not believe my speech, and therefore the words that you are hearing do not influence your life. You're not hearing it, my word, in the sense that you're believing it and operating on it. But they certainly heard what he was saying, because they got mad and tried to kill him right then. And he passed through their midst, as he's always did, because he says, my hour is not yet. But so, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the speech of God. It says word of God here, but the word is the same word as speech there in the 8th chapter of John. So in other words, God has to speak for you to have faith. Hearing. Hearing comes, he says, so faith cometh by hearing. In other words, if you're going to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you've got to hear about Jesus being preached. So that kind of faith cometh from hearing. But where does hearing come from? And it says, hearing cometh by the speech of God, not by preaching. It comes by the word of God, but the word that he speaks himself. And so Jesus said, the hour is coming, and there he is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. That's his speech. They'll hear the speech of God. The dead will hear the speech of God. And they that hear shall live. Now, these people like to say, well, you must hear the word of God. And I've got the word of God, so we got to go and preach the word of God before it's everlasting too late. Are people going to die and go to hell if they don't hear the word of God preached and make a decision? Well, that condemns untold multitudes to the fiery pit right there. Because how many billions of people has never heard the name of Jesus or heard it preached? So that condemns the old Baptist has got the broadest, the biggest, the longest, the largest salvation. They preach the largest salvation of anybody on the face of the earth, because they say that God can speak and quicken his people wherever they are. It doesn't matter what kind of condition. Evidently, John the Baptist was quickened by the speech of God before he was delivered from his mother's womb. When Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Elizabeth said, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come? Elizabeth needed the Lord and a Savior. And she said, as soon as I heard your salvation, the babe leaped for joy in my womb. So John the Baptist was a child of God at that time. Evidently, we're going to believe the scriptures. He leaped for joy. And so he had faith even before he was delivered into this world. And so God is not hindered to perform the new birth. And that's what Christ said: in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. To see, and that see means to understand, to see with comprehension, to see and to understand the kingdom of heaven. Did you know there's multitudes of people that go with the name of Christian that's never seen the kingdom of heaven? In other words, they don't see the church for what it is as the Lord set it up. They just do not see that the Lord has called and quickened the people here in the world. They just think that we're all just that man as a conglomerate, all men everywhere, all the human race, we're all the same thing, and that by going out and preaching to anybody in the human race, that they may convert them, they may make them children of God if they would just believe, just as though they had that power within themselves to believe, to accept, and to become a child of God. But as we have said so many times, except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom. You can't enter into the kingdom. You would have no desire. And the scriptures explain the reason why in various and sundry ways. One of them says that the natural mind is enmity with God, that it is hostile. Enmity means hostile. It's just not indifferent. It's just not a matter of being indifferent, I don't care. It's hostile. It's at enmity with God. In other words, it says, I will not have this man to rule over me. I'm going to do the ruling myself. And ain't that what we say by nature? Did you ever have that kind of attitude? I did when I was a young man. I'm going to do it like I want to, thank you. And people had taught me and taught me and taught me, this is wrong, this is the right way. This is the wrong way, this is the right way. Don't do this, don't do that, when I was a child. Well, when I was 15 years old, thanks to World War II, I was able to leave home and go off into service, and I began to do like I wanted to. Thank you. And I was going to do it my way. And I did it my way for 15 years. And if I'm not deceived, something happened. A power greater than I had came over me and brought me to my knees. I wasn't so big as I thought I was. I wasn't as proud as I thought I was. I thought I was somebody special, I'll tell you that. And having the advantage of traveling all over the world and meeting all kinds of people. But when my sins come up before me, I knew I was a condemned man. There was no place to hide. I thought I had been hidden from my bringing up. I was so far away from home and the people I knew, I thought I was free. But then I realized I wasn't free, that God knew what I was doing. And he was just. And I was going to reap what I sowed. I knew I was going to reap what I sowed. And I became sick. And I needed a physician. And that's when the gospel is good news. I mean, it's good news from a far country. When you come to believe, that a righteous man died for you. And all those grievous sins that had come up before you, he put them away. That's the reason he died. He atoned for them in that righteous body. Beloved, that's the gospel. That's the good news. But I tell you, you've got to get sick before you need a physician. Something's got to make you sick. And by nature, you don't get sick if you can help it. You're going to go your way and do your thing and not have this man to rule over me. But when you get sick, you're glad to have a physician. You'll be glad to bow down to him and call for help. And Jesus said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. That's what he told the Pharisees. They thought they had righteousness in keeping the law. But Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For he fulfilled the law in every jot and in every tittle. He came down from heaven to do that, he said. And he did that. He did not fail. He came to accomplish his Father's will, he said. I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is my Father's will. He told us what that was. And what was it? He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And all that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, and I'll raise him up again at the last day. He'll raise him up again at the last day. Everyone that the Father hath given him. He died for them. He brought out a robe of righteousness for them in the life that he lived. Had no sin, knew no sin, he did no sin. And he fulfilled the law in every jot and every tittle. And he took the fig leaves off of us, and he put a clothing. The Lord clothed Adam and Eve with the skin of an animal. In other words, blood had to be shed for them to be clothed properly. They clothed themselves by their own hands, their own works, when they picked fig leaves. And I don't know whether they sewed them together or wove them together or what they done, but they fixed them an apron of fig leaves. But in order for them to be able to stand before God, blood had to be shed. So he clothed them with the skin of an animal. That means the animal had to die. And that was a type right there of how our righteousness would come. The seed of the woman would come and bruise the head of the serpent. And the way he defeated death was he went down into death and then come out victorious. We go down into death and we're going to stay right there if he don't speak and call us. I've heard people say, and used to work in a tool room, and people say, well, I'm going to heaven when I die. And I tell them, you ain't going nowhere. When you are dead, you are dead. And if the Lord don't speak, you're not going nowhere. You're going to be caught up. You're going to go by the power of God. Not that I'm going to go and I'm going to do. You're going to be dead. But if Jesus speaks, if he speaks, then you'll come out. You'll come forth, just like Lazarus did. And you will forever be with the Lord. And he will not lose one of them, he said. I'll give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And that is the gospel. That is the good news, beloved. Our Lord is a Savior. He is the Savior, and he saved. He came to do the will of his Father, and that was the will of his Father, that all the Father given him would come to him, and all that come to him he would nowise cast out, and raise him up again in the last day. So what a glorious, glorious message, I think, to start off the new year with, is that we have a successful and a victorious Savior. He went down into death and defeated death forever and forever and come out victorious. And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and all principalities, all power, all dominion, everywhere is given into his hands. He rules and he reigns. And by faith, we rule and we reign with him. If we are in him, we rule and reign with him. Paul says, of him, that is, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. In other words, he is set apart and we are set apart in him. And he is our redemption. We have been redeemed by his blood. He's all these things to his people. And how on earth could it ever fail? Just can't do it. May God add his blessings to his word as our prayer. We publish the doors of the church open for the reception of members. If there's one or more here today that's never joined the church, made a public confession of faith, the Lord Jesus has commanded his children to do that. Take up their cross and follow him. Be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The reason why we're baptized in all three, because they all three have a part in our salvation. God decreed it, the Son wrought it out, and the Holy Spirit calls and quickens us and teaches us and is in us and will never depart from us. So they all three have a very active part in our salvation. So he says to his children, come out from the world, take up your cross, follow me, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is that gift of the Holy Ghost? It's the truth. It's the ability to believe the truth, the gospel, to fellowship with the Lord Jesus, to commune with him, to feel his very presence in our soul. That's a gift of the Holy Ghost. In other words, he makes your confession alive and real to us. And it's just not some kind of a theology way off there, but it's something that you feel right in here. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And therefore we live in hope. We believe Jesus is coming again, and our hope is he's coming for us. He's coming for me. Although I'm not worthy, and I know I'm not worthy, I don't deserve it, and yet I believe it. I believe he died for me. And that's my hope. And that's what faith does. It's able to lay hold to that. And the gift of the Holy Ghost is that you might grow in that and live. The just shall live by faith. What shall we sing, brethren? 277. The doors of the church are published open. Sing, brethren, when you're ready.
The Lord has been
so good to me.
I want to sing his praise. I want to glorify his name all my remaining days. The Lord has been so good to me. I will on him depend. And I want to live his path. I want to make a witness name while here on earth I stay and meet them on the golden shore on that eternal day. The Lord has been so good to me. I will
we are light in darkness, our strength in weakness, for we ask it.